reading to you from Revelation, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Good evening, my dearest and friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. And I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, by the time you receive this tape, I think I will be 85 years old. And you know that little rabbit, he's still ticking? Well, I'm still trying to tick for Jesus. Oh, friends, listen, if you don't know him, come to him tonight. This is the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my whole entire life. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the first chapter of the book of James, and let's begin reading with the first verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he may receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall a rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We've labeled this joy in trials. And James writes to the family of God. Why do I know that? Because he says, my brethren. Now we become part of God's family through faith. And I read in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we can become a child of God by receiving Christ. And I read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You remember what happened in the Philippian jail when he said, the jailer come in there and said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, James also writes about joys and trials. We are to see trials as joy. How can this be? Well, trials are not joyful, we know that. How can we be joyful in them? Well, we look past our trials, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when ye shall fall into divers or various temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But, and here's the but, let patience have her perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, the trying of our faith, according to this, worketh patience. Well, friends, patience looks far to better things. And patience looks beyond today's clouds to sunshine. Now listen, Jesus has set the example at the cross. And I read in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Well, excuse me. The pain and shame of the cross made it a terrible trial. Oh, friends, Jesus looked beyond these to the joy that would follow. And joy was ahead for Jesus after the cross. Oh, friends, if you really realize what he must have went through before, out in the Garden of Gethsemane, his disciples all went to sleep, and he knew he had to endure the shame and the humiliation and the excruciating pain on the cross. But, you know, Jesus looked ahead. He would have the joy of his resurrection and ascension to the Father, and also he would have the joy of the coming rapture and his kingdom. Hey, my friends, that rapture isn't here yet, but it's coming. You say, well, could you set me a date, Cecil? Absolutely not. Only God the Father knows when Jesus shall return. And the Bible also said he shall come as a thief in the night. Now, if everybody knew the day that Jesus come, they go live and grow sin, and that day before that, they'll straighten up and wait for the coming of the Lord. It isn't going to happen that way, but you better be prepared for it. The only way you can be prepared for the rapture is by trusting Jesus. He would have the joy of millions saved and sharing heaven with him. You know, we can look for the potential for good in our trials, and I read in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men literally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. You need wisdom today to... Well, hey, listen, friends. You need wisdom if you're a father. You need wisdom if you're a mother. And we have to have it. Well, if you want it, all you have to do is you need to ask him for it. That's what he said. You just ask me and I'll give it to you. Well, there are lessons to be learned in our trials, and there are changes to be made in us. And I read in Romans 8, 28 and 29, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he said, for he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first born among many brethren. Friends, I tell you, I've told you this before, and I'm going to tell it to you one more time. When I was told I had a cancer and I had to be operated, and I'm going to lay it to you straight, I was scared. What? Yes, I was. Nobody wants to have cancer. It's a scary thing. Well, I'm so glad that I had it. I know three people today that are saved. And their name written in the Lamb Book of Life because of this operation. See, God worked that thing, and that was one of my trials. But he worked it out so it would bring honor to him. All things work together for the good. Now you say, Cecil, how can you say that? I may lose my house this month. Well, praise the Lord, if that's what he wants. If that's what he wants. And you may lose your life this year. Praise the Lord, if that's what he wants. Now, I know that sounds kind of silly, but it's true. We need wisdom to understand what God is doing in our trials. We can ask for his wisdom and receive it. Now, our Lord imparts this wisdom freely to those who ask for it. Have you asked for it today? You remember when, Solomon, when the Lord said, what do you want? He said, I just want to be an intelligent man. But not only was he an intelligent man, he was a rich man, and everything was going good until he made a mistake. You know what he did? He started messing around with these gods of these concubines. See, you know, you say, oh, so that's where the Mormons get it. Hey, listen, that's not scriptural for men to have more than one wife. It is not, and don't tell me it is. God let him, he used him, but that don't mean he was all for. Yeah, he wants you to have one wife. He wants you to have one husband. God may be activating some talent in us through trials. Now you say, wait a minute, what do you mean? Well, we can look to the power of prayer in our trials, verse 6 and 8. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So we have to believe him. Oh, I know it's easy to say that until you go through it. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And we are invited to ask for help in trials. Did you know that? It says in Hebrews 4:15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that the profiting may offer to all. He wants to give it to you. And he wants to give you grace to help, and it's available in our trials. The grace is available in the time of need. You know what the word grace means? Unmerited love. You, now this is going to make some of you mad, you and I do not deserve heaven. No, we do not, because we have the old Adamic nature. We was born in sin, and because of our forefathers, they were cast out of the garden, and sin came into the world. Now, sin had to be paid for. Now, it says in the scriptures that the wages, otherwise you get paid for sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Wow. Isn't that something? God is there to hear and answer us in our trials. Well, listen, let's consider the disciples in the storm in Mark 4. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. May I ask you this question? Are you in a storm of life tonight? Well, you know what I suggest, just like the disciples of old, call upon Jesus and let him still the wind and the sea. And he will and he can. Well, consider Mary and Martha at the death of Lazarus. Here they were weeping and crying, and that was her brother. They said to Jesus, you know, Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Well, Jesus said, listen to me. And he showed him exactly what he was going to do. And he called out to Lazarus from the grave, and Lazarus came forth. Oh, my friends, you say, Cecil, I don't think you get it. I'm going through the hardest time of my life. I told you this story. I'll tell it to you one more time. I hope you don't get tired of it, but it really happened. I was in need of $5,000. Now, you who know me and know my ministry know I do not beg for money. I don't believe it's right. I think it's a disgrace to the Lord for Christians to go out and beg for money, whether you're a radio preacher or a TV preacher. It's a sin. Well, anyway, I called a brother of mine, he was a contractor, years ago when I was in business, I used to do his work. I said, Charlie, would you pray for me today? Really pray for me today. He said, what's the problem? I said, I never told you what the problem was. Well, what is it? Financial? Well, he hit me right in the head between the ball bat. Well, I can't lie and say, no, it's not. I said, yeah. How much? I said, I didn't call to ask to borrow money. I didn't call for that. I called for prayer. He said, how much and what do you need? I told him $5,000. He said, let me call you back in about 15 minutes. So he called me back in 15 minutes. And he said, I have a job for you. I said, I am no longer in the roofing business. He said, I have a job for you. Now you get yourself together and get your equipment and do this job. You can hire a bunch of men. You've had men working for you for years. I said, yeah. The next morning, at noon, I should say, I went to the mailbox, and there was a check for $5,000. My stars. Well, I went out, and I got some men together, and I leased some equipment. We went out and did this big tar and gravel job. I paid off the material. I paid off my men. I paid Charlie back his $5,000, and there was $5,000 left over. You remember when he fed the 5,000, the Bible said there was 12 baskets left over. See, the Bible says that Jesus will superly, abundantly bless us if we will believe him. You say, oh, Cecil, I hear all that stuff from you preachers. I don't believe it. Well, then you're out of luck. Well, we don't believe in luck, but you're out in the cold. If you want something, you call upon the Lord, and he'll take care of it. Now, let me tell you, the night before I called Charlie, I was reading in the Psalms where it said, I fell upon my knees and I cried out to the Lord. I had a need, and God heard and answered my prayer. And that's exactly what I did that night. I went to my bed and I really wept because there was just no way that I could come up with $5,000 unless I sold my house. But God supplied my needs. Didn't he say that? And I said, my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory. And that promise was given to my wife when I was laying in my bed, and they gave me up to die in Riverside, California, 50-some years ago. And she come in and she shook me and she woke me up and said, Cease, did you know this is in the Bible, that my God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus in glory? I said, yes, sir, I believe it. I've said it. I've read it, and I believe it. Well, my stars in the morning. I never had so many things happen to us in our life. I'm in bed. I can't even get out of bed. I'm so sick and weak. Here was a deacon in our church, poor as Job's turkey. Every other day he would bring a gallon of milk and two loaves of bread to my home. No one ever knew about it but God and me. What a wonderful, precious man. And you know, I've patterned my life a lot that way, helping people financially and helping people with food to introduce them to Christ. I sure have. And if you want to win a soul to Christ, don't close your eyes to the cry of the poor. You say, don't do it. The other day, it was cold. Oh, my, it was about zero. And my wife and I was going to a place, and I was taking my books out to the penitentiary. And we saw this old man in this wheelchair, and he was cold. You could tell it. And he said he was hungry and homeless. I couldn't stop. I couldn't get across because of the traffic. And I felt so bad, so I just prayed for him. Friends, listen, I know that there's con men out there. Don't think I don't, and you know it. But don't close your ears to the cry of the poor. Because if you do, your prayers will not be heard. I've told Millie and Marie, when they go to the rest home, they take cookies and they take little things, and they go in and they pray with them, and they tell them about Jesus. You know, say, well, those are just old people ready to die. Well, friend, you're not ready to die until you know Jesus. Don't you die without Jesus, because if you do, you'll end up in a devil's hell. Thus saith the Lord. Well, we can pray and ask others to pray. Have you done that? Have you ever been in a kind of a tie to the line? That's Navy phraseology. And you call someone and say, would you pray for me? Friends, that's important. Dale Freeman minister, my ex-pastor in Oregon, my stars, what a ministry he has. Worldwide ministry, praying for people from over in Russia and Africa and you name it, they pray for us. And when I was going through so many problems with my health, and I was in hospital 3 or 4 times, couldn't breathe, and I was in terrible shape, and I'd call them, I'd say, please pray for me. And everybody that I knew that did pray, I called. And it really helped me through that time. See, we can look to the prize that awaits after our trial. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Hey, listen, man, there's all kinds of trials facing us every day. But I'll tell you this, all our trials are temporary. Now, our Lord offers salvation by faith, and he offers eternal rewards. Listen, for those who trust in Jesus, listen to me, the best is yet to come. What's your need tonight, dear friend? Oh, don't be afraid to go to him and ask him. But don't ask him if you don't know him, because you're not his child. What involved, he said, brethren, James called us brethren. That's what we are when we're born in the family of God. So tonight I'm asking you, do you know Jesus? Or are you a lost church member? You've been going to church for years, but you don't know Jesus personally. You know about him, but you don't know him as your Savior. I'm begging you tonight, come to Jesus. This might be the last opportunity that God will ever give you to trust his son Jesus. So if you have a tugging at your heart, would you bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful, powerful prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my wayward life. And Father, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I sure won't use your name on the air, and I won't embarrass you, and I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Won't you give me a call? 303-471-8534.
Savior, since me.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I hope and pray and trust that something was said that would encourage you. Oh, listen, beloved, I know it's rough. I know things are tough everywhere. We're all experiencing this. But God is on His throne. He knows our needs. And we have to ask Him and tell Him what we need. Believe Him. Confess our sin that it won't stand in the way of the Lord. Well, keep praying for my wife and I. We got a service pretty quick at the prison again. We've been taking books out there and stuff. It's such a joy. Every service we see men and women come to know Jesus. Boy, that's what I live for. That's the joy of my life. Well, listen, until this time next Sunday evening, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.